Welcome to the mystical world we live in with Almeen. This hour, you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Almeen.
World we live in, discovering the secrets of the hidden realms. We are delighted that you've joined us. My name is Almeen, and we have Rogier Shadeh with us today, and he has volunteered to assist me by gathering your queries and your questions that come in through your emails. We endeavor to answer as many of your questions as we can, and we're doing quite a good job of it. We are sending out regularly to our email list questions and answers. We are also giving them on our radio shows, including the show Windows into Eternity, Understanding Concepts of Ascension, that airs on Sunday nights at 8:55 p.m. Well, Rogier, thank you again for compiling some questions for me, and feel free to start anytime you would like.
All right. Well, you're very welcome. The first question is about what you've written about the Inanna personality leaving and returning your body between 2000 and 2005, and the question really is, you know, how does something like that work? I mean, seems a bit obscure to the asker of the question.
Well, I'm sure that it is. It was not something I could have foreseen. The December of, I believe it was 2000, it was in front of a class in Texas that I went into God consciousness, that I remembered I was not the body, I was not the mind, and that I suddenly functioned from the larger identity of a being as vast as the cosmos having this experience here on Earth. It was no more than about 2 weeks later when that personality left the body. And the result of that was that one of my higher aspects came in to run my life. Whereas before, I was able to cook properly, I had humor in my classes, a vivacious personality, knew how to dress, knew how to put makeup on, strong sensual elements to my life as a woman, all of a sudden had not the slightest idea about anything when this higher aspect came in. I was in relationship at the time. It was a tremendous shock to my partner of the time. I knew nothing. I knew absolutely nothing. I was totally unprepared to deal with life, to be on an airport. I stared at my ticket. I couldn't understand who Almeen was. They had to page me, but I didn't know who they were calling. It was an incredibly disorienting experience. The Inanna piece of me was the real piece. It was the dynamic, energetic piece. The piece of me, if you will, the aspect of myself that ran the body during those 5 years caused signs of aging, which had not happened up until that point. And so, you know, since that piece came back again and resumed life, it was like night and day, overnight. And I had to repair the damage of those 5 years to the body. But she walked in and almost immediately threw out everything in the wardrobe, couldn't even believe that I would be wearing such dowdy clothes, the weight was wrong, so immediately lost weight to be, the weight that she'd always been. And so the clothes didn't even fit, but they were horrible colors and things. It was an extraordinary event. That is what happened, and it was because I was on the goddess of creation's business.
Okay, so that was the function of the Inanna piece leaving, basically.
Yes. If I could explain it like this. If you think of the tree of life, the figure eight that runs vertically, up above is what they would call the God section. The loop of the figure eight below is creation section. During that time, I was actually the first being that was instructed by Mother to leave for the bottom portion of the figure eight, for the top portion of the figure eight. And the pressure in the cosmos had gotten to be very, very painful. The Mother had instructed me to leave because it opened a way. It's a little bit like a soccer field. And there's a fence around the soccer field where the crowds are, but the game goes awry and the soccer fans are crazy and they're screaming and everybody's milling. The dangerous place to be is against that fence, because the pressure there is the most. There's no place to go to. There's no place to move to as the milling crowd pushes you. Or if you blow up a balloon, it's the edge of the balloon where the molecules are going to push, but finally the balloon can't expand any further. You know, we had accumulated an accumulated density from cycles of descension, ascension within the fall that was like weight. It was weighted density. We had accumulated it and accumulated it. Finally, there just was no place to go. We could not descend or expand any further. It was like taking that balloon with the discomfort of the molecules against the edge of the balloon being pushed from the inside out, but not having any further expansion available to them, and making a pinhole in the balloon. It started to rapidly create more of an ascension when that first entry was made from the bottom of the figure eight to the top. The other thing that happened eventually is that the whole top folded into the bottom, and it was one of the first major steps of ascension, but this was a beginning. So it was upon her instruction that I left.
Well, it's pretty impressive.
I've never explained that one before.
You've never explained this one before?
Nope, not in that detail.
Okay. Well, it's the first I heard of it, anyway. Okay. This next question is about if there is any validity to the concepts of, well, the concepts of bloodlines and that of the Holy Grail.
Oh, what a fabulous question, my goodness. There is, but not in the way people think. Because they have the cat, but they have it by the tail. The lineages are not, in fact, Christ's lineages. And see, the family, quote, lineages that I was supposedly born into in this life are part of that European nobility that trace their lineages back through the Merovingian kings all the way back to the Christ lineages. And so I am of those family lineages, but it is not to the Christ lineages that it should be traced. It is to the Isis lineages beyond that. Isis herself created lineages, and within those lineages placed specific codes of DNA. There has been tremendous care taken in how those lineages choose their partners. Well, the reason is that those codes were preserved And what those codes were codes of civilization. They were always leaders in establishing high points in civilization. I took my son back to South Africa to the ancestors' burial ground there, because my children were all conceived and born in America and hadn't seen it. And I took them back to the town of Parle to look at their graves. Every single one of them was a statesman, and here and there you find them as Supreme Court judges and so on. But all of them proceeded to become governmental leaders. That goes all the way back to the year 900, when they came as nobles from, I think it was Erik the Red in Norway, into Normandy to become the lords of that area. The codes of government and civilization are placed in their, in their DNA. What is my son doing right about now? Well, he's running for state's representative, and he is 27 years old. So they've always known they need to govern because the codes have been in there. Those have been preserved through those lineages. That's what the Holy Grail is. It's the codes that never die.
Okay, but... Well, that's interesting. I didn't know all of this, actually, because I'm just wondering how this would ultimately get confused with the concept of bloodlines, as the more sort of conspiracy watch talks about it in terms of, the elites and the old boys clubs and things like that.
The purposes that there is now may or may not be pure, but that's how it originated.
Right.
And in addition to that, it gets confused with those who until recent years were behind the scenes as sort of a global governing force, if you will.
All right, but, yeah, because that's what I was thinking about, yeah.
Yeah, it gets confused with those, and... there's a whole other situation there that it should not be confused. Like, for instance, the Rosicrucian movement, they were supposed to preserve the codes of government as well as the codes of magic. But it got distorted about 2,000 years ago. And the masters, who are immortal masters, come through ever so often. And they are the masters of the Order of the Rose, and the cross should not be a cross. It's the wings and the body of a dove. So the Order of the Dove and the Order of the Rose is what came through in some of these secret orders on a regular basis to establish white magic that's incorruptible among man. And, I believe the Rosicrucians, their masters... incarnated, every couple of hundred years. Isis herself has sent through the masters of the Order of the White Rose, which is what they were supposed to prepare the people for. The Order of the White Rose is, on multiple radio programs that I've discussed. It's in the book, especially Opening the Doors of Heaven, Revealing the Mysteries of Isis, which will be available the end of February 2008. But, things got corrupted. And also things got forgotten.
All right, and what do we make of this?
May I just ask you to hold that question? Let's do a quick little commercial break here. We'll be right back, folks.
Album completed. exploration begun in her previous books, A Life of Miracles and Journey to the Heart of God, probing further into the nature and meaning of existence. Secrets of the Hidden Realms introduces the readers to the goddess mysteries as they apply not only to individual human lives, but to the cycles of the cosmos. From this background in the intangible functions of being, Almeen is led into the dimensions of non-humans, interacting with creatures previously known only in myth and folklore, the inner relationships of fairies, dragons, gnomes, unicorns, and other elementals, and their influence on humankind is explained. Vivid accounts of encounters with these beings and others existing as expressions of the widely divergent vibrations illustrate the essential unity of all creation. Journeying from these subtle realms, the reader is shown the ultimate expression of humanity, evolution into God being. Secret of the Hidden Realms can be obtained from Almeen, along with her other books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com. In this, the fourth book, The Ring of Truth, which chronicles Almeen's journey, she tells of the promise and the potential inherent in the resurgence of the feminine principle, increasingly felt in all aspects of current human experience. The operation of new laws governing the cosmos are explained together with the reasons for their creation. We are introduced to Mother, the primal creative energy that pervades every aspect of existence. We learn of her love and her laws and how to incorporate them into every thought and act. We are given samples of her divine language, its meaning, and its power. Mother's great gift to humanity, the healing power of Belvaspada, is revealed. This new approach to dissolving disease of mind, spirit, and body replaces previously existing methodologies. Application of its techniques removes old barriers of physically oriented existence and opens a broad pathway to a life of joy and fulfillment. Discover Mother and the Ring of Truth, as well as all of Almeen's books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
We are very happy to have you with us on the show, The Mystical World We Live In, Discovering the Secrets of the Hidden Realms. My name is Almeen, if you have just joined us, and I have Ruchir with us today. And Ruchir, I interrupted your question for that commercial break. Please continue.
Well, it was really in a similar vein. The question was about the Ark of the Covenant, and what do you know about it?
Well, the magic objects that are available on Earth today, of those magic objects, the Ark of the Covenant is in fact not a very powerful object. What it more is very potent is that it is a symbol, that is a religious symbol, and that it is in fact of deep sentimental value to those. The Ark of the Covenant was for many years hidden in Ethiopia. And then, during the last world war, it was retrieved from Ethiopia by the Nazi soldiers, and it was until recent years, it was in the bottom of the Vatican. They had a floor there of many sacred objects. That's where it had been lodged until recently. And so then it was removed, and it now awaits in Mother's Temple. I have frequently spoken about the New Jerusalem, as the Revelations calls it, as this incredible etheric temple that is on earth, and that it is there. And many of the masters in my classes have seen it and touched it, but that our dedicated job is to make it physical and firm enough that people can touch it. So it's currently in there. And, Mother removed it for safekeeping.
But But what would be the function to have it there? I mean, just sort of sentimental value, or?
Yes.
Because if it's not very powerful, then doesn't seem to be much point. But
well, it is not, but it matters a great deal to Hebrew people.
All right, that's right. Okay, next question is about the Big Bang and if it was indeed the beginning of creation.
There were multiple Big Bangs. You know, I must just smile. I bet you nowhere else on Earth are radio shows asking these questions. If there is, I want to hear it.
Me too.
So, there were multiple Big Bangs. Big Bangs occurred when a fall occurred, because membranes separated levels of life. So whatever the densest point is, if you can think of it as, how can we say it? Let's say you have many objects on a sheet of paper, but one of the objects becomes too heavy for that sheet of paper and makes a hole in the sheet of paper and breaks through. All the other objects will bore through it as well. In this way, we have had a situation where every fall has had a Big Bang of sorts. It's in The Gift of the Unicorns, in the second part of it, in which we give the cycles of the fall as I got it in dictation from those beings that are the history keepers of the cycles, they speak of a time when the earth, in fact, was propelled out of her position in space from another star system and from massive stars, and was propelled with such force that she actually burst through the membrane containing life at that stage, creating a volcano of life shooting downwards into the next level. These levels are like oceans of consciousness, you see, that are lower and higher and so on. And so creating that is a Big Bang. It would appear for all intents and purposes as a Big Bang. It would then settle in this whole new ocean of consciousness enclosed in a membrane until perhaps it becomes bottom heavy again and creates an opening that bursts through another Big Bang. So Big Bangs have continually occurred. So are you asking how far back this goes?
Well, we could go there, but I'm just wondering, to be clear, I mean, do we say then that it's synonymous with, like, the fall or, like, a Big Bang or a fall?
Well, in later stages, it would be. But let us take, for example, how does Mother create life forms, planetary life forms, suns, moons, beings on them? Creation takes awareness. An ocean of consciousness is aware. It's not mind at rest. It's mind that is aware of itself. So it takes the awareness and it clusters it into form. First, it clusters it into just individuations without form, the way your inner nurturer and your inner child and so on are unique perspectives that lie superimposed over your inner realm, so to speak. So each of us was like that. We were a consciousness with a unique perspective superimposed over all that is. So that's the first level of clustering. The second level of clustering has to create those consciousnesses into forms. Well, to cluster awareness into form takes tremendous energy. And so this tremendous energy that's taken out of that ocean of consciousness lowers consciousness. So now we have to go down one level to the next ocean of consciousness through a Big Bang. through a portal that's opened in the membrane. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yes, it makes sense.
So the four can create a Big Bang, but so can creation because of the fact that it had traditionally created a type of four. My belief is that creation will take place in a different way in the future.
Okay. And what seems to be a related topic, what is or was the function of chaos, and does it actually still exist? I mean, if demons don't exist, who are supposed to embody chaos, does chaos still exist?
Chaos is really only the destructuring of an order to put in its place a higher order. That's one way you can define chaos. Or it is a higher order viewed from a lower order. You know, we have as our the person that helps me with this show on our other show, which is called The Windows into Eternity, Understanding Concepts of Ascension. On Sunday nights, Paul St. John, who is my office manager, reads out the questions from our listeners for me to answer regarding those topics. But the reason that he is such a magnificent office worker is that he is functioning at a high level. The people that were in my office before and trying to assist me before could not understand the speed at which I worked, which is from a higher order. For them, it was total chaos. So they got really resentful that I was producing chaos into their lives. But I stood in the eye of the storm, compressing time, and therefore able to do 12 things for every two someone else does. So it's from a lower perspective's vantage point, the higher order looks chaotic. So is there really chaos? No, there isn't.
Okay, but how does it relate to the issue of, I mean, how did chaos previously relate to the issue of demons then? Or,
well,
or you spoke of Lucifer at least, who was created to embody these realms?
Yes, that is correct. We must differentiate between chaos and illusion and density. Those are entirely different things, so we possibly ought to differentiate between those. So, number one, the chaos that I say does not exist is sometimes the result of those in illusion playing their part longer than is necessary. For example, there were portions of Mother's being that arose during the creation process within the creatures she created that because she had given them a measure of freedom of choice, she didn't know whether they were mirroring back to her portions of herself, which is the reason for creation, to understand and know beingness better, or if they were mirroring their own stuff. So how would she know that? So there were unknown portions of Mother's being. They were not chaotically, just haphazardly spread. As they arose, they were embodied by beings that would play them out so that they could be studied. So again, illusion is simply the unknown portions of beingness, which in August of 2007 became solved in that Mother knew what she was not. Now, unknown portions of beingness is how much of herself she can be. What new levels of creativity and beauty and purity can be reached. So it deals with what she is versus what she isn't. So when the unknown deals with what Mother isn't, we call it illusion. But still, it is not chaotic. It is embodied either by demons you know, or gods of darkness or whatever you want to call them, which there's no longer a need for, that is still not chaotically done. Then density had to do with the creation of linear time and space. It created a complex relationship between time and space. It created a delay in cause and effect by creating a dense electromagnetic field. The denser the field, the more density there is. And so the point is that density is, again, something entirely different. So I'm just trying to differentiate, but that's how I would say they relate, if that's what you're asking. I think, is it time for a commercial break? I believe we're about there. Please hold that question. I'm sorry to interrupt you. Let's come back after these messages.
A Life in Miracles is a deeply inspiring and motivational book in its content. It is unique in its field in making man's relationship as the microcosm to the macrocosm understandable to both beginning and advanced readers. It's a detailed guide to living a joyous and balanced life that provides a carefully laid out map to achieving the magnificent destiny that beckons at the apex of human experience, that of ascension. If you're ready to ascend to a higher consciousness, begin each day with A Life of Miracles or any other books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or her magazine by contacting Al Mean at www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Brand new book, The Gift of the Unicorns, is now available from Al Mean. The magical book answers the question, do mystical creatures like the winged horse Pegasus, mermaids, and giants truly exist? What is their roles, and how can they be called upon for assistance? In their own words, the unicorns reveal where they went during the ages of darkness, their heroism in preserving purity and innocence, their golden shoes, and the secret mission they undertook for the mother of all creation. To receive your copy of this amazing book of sacred secrets, The Gift of the Unicorns, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016 today.
Welcome back. And we are in a very deep discussion here, so I won't even go into anything else. I'll just let you continue with your questions.
All right. Well, I didn't really have anything about the chaos question, namely because I don't really know what else is meant by the question. But we can go on to the next one. And it's really asking why our cosmos has certainly seemed to be such a fertile field for corruption, and if there is a connection between light and corruption.
Oh, fabulous question. Well, why it has seemed rife for corruption. Let's start there. The one thing that has been misunderstood by students of metaphysics, and that is that Mother, in creating something that has never been created before, namely the creatures and the beings in her cosmos, creating them the way you would design a car on a screen with lines that you draw, and then the screen would create a three-dimensionality to that car, and then eventually, what Mother did is she fleshed up the car, she put the, you know, she filled in the lines, and then she brought the car out of the screen. That's a massive accomplishment. And it hadn't been done before. So, the point is that Mother, in creating the Father as the first creation, and then creating life with him beyond that, this is new. the purpose of creation is to expand knowledge. And all knowledge is basically self-knowledge, because all knowledge we gain is knowledge of beingness. So it isn't that Mother immediately knew everything she was doing. It's like making up a recipe I actually love to cook. Well, I can make old recipes that have worked, but what's the fun in that? I want to create a new dish every time I cook, because I want to create something I've never created before. So the point is that Mother didn't just create things that she knew would work. She wanted to expand her horizon. So nothing was created perfectly the first time. Perhaps she made the dough and then she tasted it and she thought more sugar should be added, and then it was not quite runny enough to be a cake batter, so she added a little more milk or whatever it is that she's making. So the point is, this is how creation has gone. It still is not chaotic. It just is what different configurations would work the best to create, within the grand scheme of things, the highest evolved life. So there's that. Then in addition to that, a second aspect needs to be considered in why things haven't always gone as smoothly as we could. With any game that's fun, there's a wild card. There's an element of surprise. The element of surprise is individual freedom of choice. So Mother does not always know what her children will do. I had an angel once say to me that the most unpredictable thing in the entire cosmos is human awareness. And there was a reason why it was human versus other species, but the bottom line of it is that we could choose anything at any given moment. So Mother didn't always know how our choices would respond to what she would put on the table. It was a bit like a chess game. Mother has multiple times tried to bring her children out of the screen. 96 different ways she tried.
But when you say out of the screen, I know we've touched upon this in previous shows, but what exactly do you mean?
Well, when she was trying to make this sort of flat, two-dimensional creation more real, because there's degrees of realness, and I'm glad you bring that up, you know? If that's what you're saying, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, see, so she wants to bring them out of the screen. She tried joy, passion, love, contentment. I mean, all these beautiful emotions, 96 of them, but they didn't work. Why? Because of inertia, because of laziness in the beings in the screen? Well, who knows? But freedom of choice did not take those opportunities. It was the 97th time that there were four tones distorted within frequencies, and it produced adversity as a tool of growth. And bingo, she got us out of the screen. All of creation has now become virtual reality, if you want to.
And television.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
So, your question again was what again?
Well, it's really about the corruption. What's the connection between light and corruption?
Mother has continually tried to get the yeast to rise in that recipe. She has remade human forms. She has collapsed time. She has remade every atom in the cosmos. But somehow the electromagnetic fields still held memory, so she redid the electromagnetic fields. And somehow beings still wanted what they didn't have, not living in the moment, but striving for everything they couldn't get. Now, you asked a very intelligent question there. What is the relationship between light and corruption? Well, In previous cycles, there was a way of becoming, and it was linear because we had linear time. So it was like a spiral that would repeat over and over at higher and higher levels of first transformation, in which you would shed everything that no longer serves, transmutation, which is the alchemy of turning lead to gold. You would turn your experiences into experiential wisdom, and then you would do transfiguration, because the light it would yield would kick you into the next level of perception. So we have been on a perception level getting stage for a long time. In fact, the change of it was overdue. The why overdue is a whole other story, but Mother, therefore, was overly intent on creating luminosity within her creations, creating light. That's done by turning the unknown into the known through experience. So the next thing that she wanted to do is that she had to actually stop that and say, look, growth is now exponential. But because of Mother's over, shall we call it obsession or focus on creating light after it became obsolete, they became obsessed in terms of the creations, became obsessed with having light. So this burning hunger in the souls of our creation would drive the unconscionable people to pillage those of light, and it would drive those of light to become at times self-centered in their quest for growth, and then behave insensitively to other kingdoms and other beings. And, you know, it created a problem around light itself.
Okay.
So is there any other question you want to
ask?
Yeah,
sorry, I was just I was wondering if you were going to say anything else or not.
No.
But I was just, see, and this is a related question because it's asking,
oh, you know what? I'm so sorry. Possibly what you were waiting for is to hear the rest of the story. What now if growth is exponential? Is that what you were wanting me to answer? Well,
yes.
With growth no longer being just a matter of being in stage three of change, which is the getting of light, what now has to happen is Mother has declared in the Book of Life, which is the life, the book of the laws of existence, that because growth is exponential, when light is obtained, it must first be anchored into experiential knowledge, which must become wisdom lived. Then, when more light is anchored in, that has to be the next step. But it will slow this constant grasping for light down. It should actually slow life down, don't you think?
Mm-hmm, yeah. All right. Well, I was actually already sort of wandering into the next question because it's really asking about the Mother Goddess one, also about the Father. But I think what this question is about is we tend to think of the Creatress and Creator as very sort of invulnerable and detached and untouchable, but this question sort of is wondering about that and how come the Mother has, you know, been or at least appeared so vulnerable to deceit and infiltration and treachery, and how come this is even possible.
And I'm quite sure that the person who has written in has read the history of the cycles in The Gift of the Unicorns. You think that's what she's referring to?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Well, in there it explains what Mother, as the one infinite being expressing as the many, has actually undergone during the fall. It was not as though she sat outside the screen watching a very bad suffering television movie, because the screen couldn't be held open without her entering into it. She has partaken of the years and eons of suffering on that 97th try around the massive cycles of life. She has undergone incredible forgetfulness so that she could descend to the densest levels, because it is at the densest levels where life is lifted up. Why? She deliberately underwent forgetfulness to be able to stay in the screen. Well, why? It's because of her love of her creations. Her love for her children has been so big that she didn't rest until they were real, until they were out of the screen, until she no longer had to watch them the way one watches a newborn virtually day and night, until she could let them be by themselves and be self-sustaining, which she has created, as every heart has now a self-sustaining energy device. And it is fueled by love and praise and gratitude. It is because of love. It is possibly the greatest love story ever told, that mother would have undergone that much to bring us out of that screen. Let's take a quick commercial break and we will be right back.
Almin continues the exploration begun in her previous books, A Life of Miracles and Journey to the Heart of God, probing further into the nature and meaning of existence. Secrets of the Hidden Realms introduces the readers to the goddess mysteries as they apply not only to individual human lives, but to the cycles of the cosmos. From this background in the intangible functions of being, Almin is led into the dimensions of non-humans, interacting with creatures previously known only in myth and folklore, the inner relationships of fairies, dragons, gnomes, unicorns, and other elementals, and their influence on humankind is explained. Vivid accounts of encounters with these beings and others existing as expressions of the widely divergent vibrations illustrate the essential unity of all creation. Journeying from these subtle realms, the reader is shown the ultimate expression of humanity, evolution into God being. Secret of the Hidden Realms can be obtained from Almin, along with her other books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com. The Complete Power Of and the Mystical Key series of radio programs are a part of the premier CD set. They are available from Almin at www.spiritualjourneys.com. Request the entire premier CD series set or the new book, Aruba Farina, The Book of Fairy Magic, by calling 502-499-0016 today.
Hello, this is Wesley Snipes. And when I'm divinely inspired and spiritually motivated, I listen to BBSRadio.com.
Welcome back. We are so happy that you're with us today on the mystical world we live in. Ruchir, please proceed with the questions. We are on a roll. I love the questions you're asking. They're very profound.
All right. Well,
keep me on my toes.
Yeah, that's what I'm here for. There's one question about this talk of future water shortages and, you know, whether this is just fear-mongering, and also what, you know, is the metaphysics of water, like in terms of like drought and flooding.
Okay. There's various reasons why we have been subject to the massive floods and also the droughts, why our climates have been upset, if you will. Part of it is the ascension process. And you must understand, you know, that our readers out there still might think of 2012 with some trepidation as coming. All of that we have passed by, because it was late in 2005 that we had actually officially passed 2012, as time sped up during the ascension process for the Earth. So the ascension process has sped up time, if you will, over the last years, meaning that every year we've lived, you know, beyond our imagining many years. I won't even tell you. I mean, because I can't. I mean, it has sped up exponentially. But what we've inherited are hundreds of years of cataclysms squeezed into a few short years. So that's reason number one why that has happened. Reason number two why that has happened is that imbalances have been rectifying themselves within the hearts, the emotions, and the minds of beings everywhere. The Earth is the archetype for the cosmos for many, many mystical reasons, which, you know, is beyond the scope of what we're discussing here today. The Earth is the most amazing planet that there is. She is the cradle of life from even before the fall began. And she is so much more, some of which I just received late last night and am not yet at liberty to discuss in public. But the point is that the Earth herself has been releasing old trauma, old memories held in her rocks. For example, we have read in the history of the cycles given by the history keepers of the cosmos that the Earth, during one of the big bangs, bumped into another planet and had a huge portion of her broken off. Her name was Eternal Mother, Tiamat. And it was broken off at that time. And she was like clouded with debris around her. At one point, she resided on the other side of Mars. Again, much larger than now. She was in the place where this Nibiru, a planet that orbits every 3,600 years that we've mentioned before, just to the other side of Mars. In my opinion, that is what the Star of Bethlehem was. But just on the other side of Mars, they found that the Earth, which had been shot away, had ended up in their place where they usually orbit, so that we were on a collision course. So the answer was they simply shot it out of their way. They shot the Earth, multiple pieces broke off, and they shot it to our position in space where we currently are, spinning it into a direction opposite than the other planets in the solar system. So the Earth has had a lot of trauma contained, and where is it kept? For us, it's kept in bones, if it's old past things, from ancestors, for instance. The ancestral memories, if you will, of trauma for the Earth is kept in our rocks. That has produced a lot of activity of every kind. Now, humanity that lives on her has undergone dramatic and rapid changes, unbeknownst to us because the media spins the hype that all is still the gloom and doom that it was before. But unbeknownst to us, major changes. Large soul groups have left the Earth that we are not even aware of. How would we know that? So, you know, the ones that are non-life enhancing. And so the release of their density, the release of energy that they provided, the release of emotions within us that were stuck as we move up to higher levels of frequency will produce floods. You know, heat is produced again by other circumstances. Also, that is a form of release. So that's the third reason why this has happened. And then there are other reasons, and that is that even as the Earth has moved up, some areas didn't. I asked about the floods in the southern area of the United States, and I was told by Mother simply that city should not be on the map, and not the way it is. You know, any brushes with death will raise frequency. I'm sure that the people living in it, that the whole city has raised in frequency. But that's another reason why floods will wash away areas where the frequency does not rise compatibly with the rest of the planet. Rogier, I see we have come to the end of another wonderful hour together. Thank you so very much for assisting, and my love to all our listeners as well. Bye-bye.
We hope you've enjoyed today's show, The Mystical World We Live In, with Al Mean. Please join us again next week.